Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhagavad Sandarbha Jaina 3 Adhikarna 2 Bhagavan's medium-sized form is omnipotent and all-pervasive. Page 32. Vaidharm yach cha na swapnadi vat. One cannot claim that objects are only cognition as in dreams, since there is difference in the dream object and object of waking perception. Brahma Sutra 2.2.29. Right? Because they'll say the material world's a dream state, but there's a difference between the dream state and being awake in the material world. So you can't say they're the same. Right? The world destroys jiva's knowledge, asta dishtanam, of paramatma and jiva, because of the actions of maya through avidya. Because of these two factors, appearing and disappearing like a dream, and ignorance of jiva and paramatma, the world is full of suffering, since even happiness is only an abhasha, another form of suffering. Right? So the happiness here is basically another form of suffering. Right? It's just a reflection, because it doesn't really satisfy the soul. Does that make sense? You know, and on the other side, then we shouldn't have so much of a problem with viparlamba as suffering, because the material enjoyment is already suffering, and this is better. You need the spiritual. No? Okay. Without your existence, the universe is an unreal thing, asat surupam, like the horns of a rabbit. Still, the temporary world appears to be eternal for fools, right? So, the material world has substance because of its connection with Krishna. Otherwise, then it's like this, horns on a rabbit, like that. Does that make sense? You know, and everyone knows that Monty Python works a little bit more in the illusory field than in reality, right? So, the point is that the rabbit with horns doesn't exist. Horns exist, rabbit exists, but a rabbit with horns does not exist. So, the material world only actually has substance when you see it in connection with the Supreme. It does exist, it is here, but it takes on an illusory position for the jiva, because the jiva then only identifies with the body and mind, and therefore they are unable to actually appreciate the reality of things. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say, a person who's not actually wealthy considers himself very wealthy and very prestigious, and everybody knows he's not. Right? So wealth, prestige, that he exists, that others exist, that he does have money, others have more money, all this exists. His illusion of thinking how wealthy he is and what his status is, that's the illusion. Right? Because it's not in connection with reality. So the material world, when not seen in connection with Krishna, then is going to give an illusory effect. Because you're not going to see it in its proper position. You're seeing things, but you're not seeing it in the proper perspective. So that's why it's called illusory. Right? It exists, it's real. But the point is it only actually goes beyond illusory for the jiva when the reality is based on the relationship with the Supreme. Then only it becomes substance. Right? Without your existence, the universe is an unreal thing, asat surupam. Right? So, those who know see it as real, because they see the Lord and how everything is connected to Him. Then the fools, they think it's eternal. That they're going to be happy eternally, everything's going to be eternal, even when they die, everyone's going to remember them eternally. You know? So, it's just like this. let us just take, okay, let us take Caesar, right? You know, famous, generally everybody knows him. What is he remembered for, right? Getting stabbed by everybody in the Senate. Is that what he wanted to be remembered for? What is about his conquering the North? What about his establishment of, you know, the stability of the governments and all so many other things? Most people don't even know about that. But they know he got stabbed. Does that make sense? You know, Napoleon for wearing a three-cornered hat, sticking his hand in his coat, and ending up in Corsica drinking horse urine. Whoopee. Great to be remembered, right? You know? So that's the whole thing, is people in illusion that they're going to go on forever and be remembered. They're going to enjoy eternally. All these things are going to be eternal. But when you connect it with Krishna, that's when it becomes real. Because then you see things in the proper perspective. Then you see everything in relationship to Krishna. Then you don't see anything illusory. You can see how the effect of the illusory energy. Right, so you can see the jiva maya and upadana, jiva maya and upadana maya, guna maya, yeah, like that. Then you can see that, but you can see how it's working and all that. But you can see it because it's connected with the Lord. Right? The happiness is the semblance. There appears to be knowledge, since Prakriti is constituted of Mahatattva, whose nature is knowledge. Though that is material, and there appears to be happiness because the world has places like Swarga, because it is seen that your body is limited by other factors. Your body, though unlimited, becomes limited by this Rup Shakti. That is the meaning of this section. Footnote 2. Though all-pervading, greater in size than all universes, the Lord appears within the world in a medium-sized form. So he limits by his Surup Shakti. So he's limiting himself. Right? He's still unlimited, but so that we can perceive and we can interact, then he's limited. So? Okay. Yeah. Brahma spoke thus to the Lord. Vriti, having established that Bhagavan in his limited medium-sized form is all-powerful, next the all-pervading power of the Supreme Lord is presented, as envisioned by great devotees like Narad Muni and Bhishma Dev. So we see he's omnipotent, so that's what we've established. Now we'll talk about the all-pervasive. Okay. Anucheta 42. Thus the all-powerful nature of the Lord is established, since it contains everything. In his medium-sized form is Krishna. And because he shows that he is all-pervading, this power is established. Chitram bataitad ekena vapusha yugapat pritak griheshu dvasta sahasram shriya eka udavahat. It is quite amazing that in a single body Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.69.2. Oh, how amazing! Etad bata chitram. Krishna alone married 16,000 women. Shamshaya. How is this amazing? Uttara. He married them in all their 16,000 palaces. Right? So, you can say, how is it amazing? Okay, made 16,000 wives. Okay, so that you could say in one sense is amazing, but why are you bringing this out in connection with God? Because he married them all simultaneously in their own palaces. Right? It's not that he married one after another, right? You know, marriage ceremonies are still going on, you know, they're trying to catch up. Shamshaya. And then? Uttara. He was present in each palace and performed the marriage rites. Purva Paksha. It is not possible to be present in each house by going to, it is not possible to be present in each house by going to one house after the other. It is not impossible to be present in each house by going to one house after the other. Uttara, but he was simultaneously present in each house. Purva Paksha, a great yogi can manifest many bodies at once also and accomplish this feat. What is so astonishing? Great yogis whom you respect do this. Uttara, he did this with a single body. Purvapaksha. Did he spread out one body with many hands and feet? Uttara. No. According to proper method, in each of the palaces with suitable form, he accepted each bride in marriage at the same time by his power of yoga maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 338. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada. In the Brahma Samhita 533, the Lord is described as follows in regard to his innumerable plenary expansions. Advaityam achutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham navayovanam cha vereshu durlabhamadurlabhamatma bhaktau govindamari purusham tamahang vajami. The Lord, Govindam, who I worship, is the original personality of Godhead. He is non-different from his innumerable plenary expansions, who are all infallible, original, and unlimited, and who have eternal forms. Although he is primeval, the oldest personality, he is always fresh and young. And by his internal potency, the Lord can expand himself into various personalities of Swayam Prakash and again into Prabhav and Vaibhav forms. And all of them are non-different from one another. The forms into which the Lord expanded to marry the princesses in different apartments were all slightly different, just to match each and every one of them. Right, so the difference was just a slight mood and how he would deal and everything that would perfectly match each queen. Right? So that would mean as they are individuals, then he will deal with them in an individual way. But otherwise, it's one body. Right? He's just expanding that one body. So he's still the same person. But he's reciprocating with each devotee according to their affection. They are called Vaibhava Vilas forms of the Lord and are affected by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. According to Uddhava's words, each form was exactly like the other forms. The idea of one form extending itself is rejected by use of the word pritak, separate, in the verse spoken by Narad. Krishna was visible with one body of a human in each of the palaces separately and completely. Thus, since one body spreads simultaneously in all places with all types of activities, it was most astonishing. So it's one body who's present in all these 16,000 places simultaneously. Right? And in each one, he's not like the yogi doing all exactly the same thing. Each one is having the uniqueness of what's happening in that particular palace with those particular devotees.
Separate and complete.
Yes, separate and complete. Right? They're one body, but at the same time, they're separate and complete in themselves. Right? And acting independently. But at the same time, as they're all one body. Right? That is the explanation of the verse. In the prose section of fifth canto, describing the forms of the Lord as ruler of the planet, Srimad Bhagavatam 5:20-40, Sridhar Swami gives a similar explanation. Quote, the Lord remains in a complete form, samantat, with his one form, since he is the master of the greatest powers, maha vibhuti patihi. Then the imperishable Lord, assuming a separate form for each bride, duly married all the princesses simultaneously, each in her own palace. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:59-42. Briti, BBT purport. As Sridhar Swami explains, here the word yata indicates that each marriage was duly performed. This means that the entire company of the Lord's relatives, including his mother, Devaki, appeared in each and every palace and attended each and every wedding. Since all these weddings took place simultaneously, this event was surely a manifestation of the Lord's inconceivable potency. When Lord Krishna does things, he does them in style. So it is not astonishing that the Lord simultaneously appeared in 16,100 wedding ceremonies taking place in 16,100 royal palaces, accompanied in each palace by all his relatives. Indeed, this is the way one should expect the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do things. After all, he is not an ordinary human being. Srila Sridhar Swami further explains that on this particular occasion, the Lord manifested his original form in each of his palaces. In other words, to take part in the wedding vows, he manifested identical forms, prakash, in all the palaces. Simultaneously appearing in each palace, Tvad Rupa Dharaha, he married all the princesses. He did not have separate forms like Narayana, it is said. Anekatra Prakatata Rupas Yaikasya Yaikada Sarvata Tad Sarupaiva Sa Prakasha Itir Yate. When one form manifests in many places and is, in all respects, the same as the original form, it is called Prakash. Lagu Bhagavatamrita 1.21. This is different from appearance of different forms in many places. Nardas spoke thus. Anucheda 43. Thus it is said, thus in every palace Narda saw the Lord in his same personal form, executing the proper principles of religion that purify those engaged in household affairs. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.69.41. Riti, BBT Purport. It is stated in text 2 of this chapter, all the Lord's activities in the many palaces were performed by the Lord's single spiritual form, Ekena Babusha, which manifested in many places at once. This vision was revealed to Narada because of his desire to see it and the Lord's desire to show it to him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the other residents of Dwarka could see Krishna only in the particular part of the city that they themselves occupied and not anywhere else, even if they would sometimes go to another precinct on some business. Thus the Lord gave a special view of his pastimes to his beloved devotee Narad Muni. So if somebody's from a particular aspect of the pastime, let's say someone is in one of the palaces, right? They're connected with one of the queens in one of the palaces. If they went out into another area where Krishna would be expanding the forms, they wouldn't see it. Right? They could only see Krishna there in their palace. That's why the queens would always think Krishna is just with them, even though he was in all 16,000 simultaneously. Right? So it's special that Narad Muni was able to see this. He could go to each palace and see all this. Yes.
That's why when we are describing in Rasa, then we describe Lord as like, you know, separate, Raj Krishna separate, and then the distinction is made in terms of relationship. But actually, according to the tattva, it's Ekena Vapusha.
Yes.
One single.
So it means he's in all these places. He's in Vrindavan, he's in Dwarka, he's in Vaikuntha, he's in the Purusha avatars, all simultaneously. And it's all him. It's one form. It's just depending upon the devotees, there's a different mood. So for some, because they're all worshipping Krishna in Dwarka, therefore it's just that he just has that one form. So therefore it's the Prakash aspect.
Prakash.
Yeah. But we see is that him and there and in Narayan, that's a different form. Though it's still one form, because the form takes on some different aspect for those devotees, right? Does that make sense? So the difference is the form the same with different moods, or is it a different form that to match those different moods? Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like the cowherd boys, when they sit with Krishna, they all, for lunch, Krishna sits in the middle and they all sit around in circles, concentric circles. Each cowherd boy, doesn't matter where he's sitting in the circle, he's facing Krishna. And Krishna is eating and interacting with him. Right? So this would mean that simultaneously they're worshipping the same person, but because they're unique, there'll be a slight difference in the mood and how he's interacting. Right? But when we see the mood changes, let's say from Braja Krishna, yeah, and then Jashoda, the gopis, the cowherd boys, they're all worshipping the same Krishna, but he may have all these different forms, just to match it. It's one form with all these different moods. Moods, yeah. But then Dwarka, that will be another manifestation. Does that make sense? But it's still the one Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. He himself, Eva, not his expansion, was all, in all the houses. He was one form, not many forms, for the expansion of one body. Shruti says, Ekam santam bahuda drishyamanam. One form appears as many. Na chantar na bahir yasya. He has no interior or exterior. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.13. Krishna can do this since he has the power to pervade everywhere. Narada saw this clearly. Ha! Narada did not just infer this, but experienced it directly by power given by the Lord. So he's not just putting it together by inference. He actually directly perceived it. Right? Yes?
It seems that Narada, he had a special darshan seeing Krishna in
yes,
all the
yes.
palaces.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, his knowledge matched his experience.
Mm-hmm.
But as previously mentioned, for others, they actually know that Krishna is all pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
But their experience show different. Means, what is their area of interaction? There he is. But where he isn't, they don't have that experience. So how can we match those?
Because, are we talking about the example of someone from one area?
Yes.
Doesn't, because it's about the rasas, the main thing. See, Narad Muni is going and seeing all these things at, basically in that mood, that aspect of the Shanta Bhakta.
Yes.
So the Shanta Bhakta appreciates all these things, how the person, the all-pervading and all those things, and seeing all that simultaneously, that's kind of like their mood, their bhava.
Yes.
But the others will be assistants of their particular individual queen or whatever it is, their connection within the area. Then they will be, therefore, functioning in that particular aspect of rasa. So the particular tattva on that level is not important. It's only what aspect of tattva is important for that rasa that's all you need. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's too much information can give a problem for a rasa. Does that make sense? You just, how much is necessary for the mood? You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, they don't need this broader range of knowledge for their rasa. So it's not that they couldn't know it, it's just that it's not because of the rasa going on, the yoga maya. What we can see here is that for the knowledge aspect, the shanta aspect, then having that kind of knowledge, that just it just increases that rasa with them. Right? Because there's no possession.
Yeah.
You want to say something?
Yeah, because the possession should be directed. So dasya and above, there is possessiveness, so it has to be directed at one place.
Mm.
If we see so many things, then we cannot direct it.
Mm. Okay, does that make sense? Means, when you start with dasya, you get the sense of possession.
Yes.
Right? So then, with that, then this shuddha rati, right, this pure attraction to Krishna, then takes on specific, specific characteristics,
mm-hmm.
right? That of receiving the mercy of the Lord, that of being equal to the Lord, of giving mercy to the Lord, or that intimacy of the conjugal relationship, right? So that's because of that sense of possessiveness. So it takes on these. While in Shanta, there's no possessiveness. So it's not directed at any particular necessary form. Does that make sense? You might have something general, but it's all seen as Krishna. It's all like this and that. So they don't have the direction for them, so therefore any aspect anywhere will nourish. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, though, the higher rasas can't also have this aspect, but they will always see that these are all an expansion of the one form that they have that attraction to. Right? Like the Brajabasis can see how Krishna is in everything. Everything's Krishna. But it's Braja Krishna that is everything and expanded everywhere. You understand?
Yeah.
But as he expands, he takes on the mood of what's there. So he may not manifest the mood of Braja Krishna, but he's still Braja Krishna. Does that make sense? Because there's one form. What was it? Ekena Rupa. Vapusha. Does that make sense? So, therefore, that's why they can see Braja Krishna everywhere. Right? It's Braja Krishna who's expanded as the Purusha avatars, who has created the world. So they can see Braja Krishna in everything. Right? Someone from Vaikuntha will see their particular deity there, or Mahanarayan there, and then the particular deity that they and in which they approach him. Does that make sense? But for the Shanta, then it's more of a generic, so it's just they have that pure attraction to the Lord, but it doesn't have any specific attributes like the other four. And it doesn't have specific, it means it doesn't have the attributes of possession. Right? So, but they will be, you know, peaceful, they'll be without material desire, fixed, you know, all those nice qualities that are defined in the pure devotee. They'll have all that. But the Rati won't have the characteristics of the other four that are based on the sense of possession. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So then for the Shanta Bhaktas to see like that, it only enhances their rasa. But if for the others, it won't enhance the rasa. Because thinking that Krishna is just here with their queen, you know? That makes the rasa go, because that's how the queens sing it, so they're assisting. Right? But if it's not, well, he's in all the palaces, so it's no big deal that he's in your palace, because he's also in the other palaces, so you're not special. You know, I mean, you're special in that he's only in 16,108 palaces, so I mean, there's a lot more girls around, so you are the 16,108, you know, of the specialness. But is that going to impress the girl? No. So therefore, for the rasa, it's not important. Even if they did see he's expanded in all palaces, it's their Krishna and their palace is expanded. Right? Because all these things are true, but it's just a matter of which aspect you're looking at. Right? You know, just like we have this water pot. There is an inside of the water pot that we're not viewing. But for us to appreciate as a water pot, we don't need to see the inside. Right? For us to see the inside, then basically, generally, unless we're looking at it and see if there's water inside, that's that. But they actually investigate the inside of the pot means there's no water inside. So it's not doing anything for us, and that knowledge is not doing anything for us. You know, or underneath the stand that it's sitting on. There is an underneath to that. But it doesn't add to our appreciation. Does that make sense? You know, unless we're looking at, let's say, the quality of the pot, and then seeing the workmanship that's there, and then looking at all places that doesn't matter where it is, seen parts, unseen parts, the work is all good. Because some places you see, what you see is look good. You know, it's like this, some of these Calcutta, I was going by, these buildings, you know, the Indian buildings, the front looks really fabulous, but the side looks like any ordinary building.
Not even painted.
Yeah, not even painted. You know, it's just downright, it's just like any old normal house, but the front is all this fancy glass and this, and yeah, it's like... So that's not uncommon. So that something would be the same workmanship as everywhere, where you'd see and where you'd not see, then you know that the craftsman has, you know, pride in his work. And for that, then you feel it enhances your feel that I have a nice pot. Does that make sense? So you have to see is what knowledge enhances, because there's unlimited knowledge, because Krishna is unlimited. So how much is valuable for us? Right? And more than that is interesting, because now it's quiet, but when they run, you can't hear them. Yes.
So can we say that a relationship with the Absolute is actually defined by Rati, the sadhaka feels towards the Absolute, not by knowledge itself?
No, it's not defined by knowledge.
Because we've seen that devotees, they feel one thing, but because, as you mentioned, they read many books, and on the mental platform, they calculate which is what and how mm-hmm. is that and mm-hmm. you know, so many things. So it's a mental. But then the argument is that the mind isn't pure. So we can really go from that side. But the intelligence is also not pure. So we can't, so it's highly indecisive. You know, we can't make any decision.
That's why it's said that knowledge and detachment doesn't give you bhakti. They're useful in support to bhakti. Because if you have knowledge about Krishna, then means you're hearing about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And hearing is a devotional process.
Right.
But it's not that gaining of knowledge is what's increasing your bhakti. Just like detachment from the material world is valuable because then you're not absorbed in the material so you can be absorbed in Krishna, right? If you're not forgetting Krishna, you can be remembering it. Does that make sense? So that's where it's value and support, but just being renounced doesn't get you Krishna. Right? You know, otherwise, remember there was that brahmachari and Chaitanya Leela, you know, just very renounced, only drank milk, very austere, but Lord Chaitanya felt disturbed because, you know, where's the bhakti? Even though he was the very first class brahmachari. So that's the whole point, is that all of these, as the previous one, is the material world, all these things have value because of Krishna. And if Krishna's not involved, they don't actually have any substance for the soul. So bhakti is the only substance for the soul. All the other things aren't there. Just like if we have karma yoga and jnana yoga, right? And we're talking about it in the concept of buddhi yoga as a sadhaka. Then what makes the jnana yoga and karma yoga what they are? It's because we're performing them in context of bhakti. So technically, we say karma yoga and jnana yoga, but technically we're meaning, for us as sadhakas, that it's mixed, right? It's karma and bhakti. There's a connection there. There's yoga.
Yeah.
And we're taking our karma and connecting it to bhakti, right? So it's karma yoga. But now you have the karma yogis who are not devotees, who are following karma, but with the concept of they're willing to see it in connection with the Lord, you know, because it becomes bhakti misra karma. So that's just karma yogis. They're not devotees.
Yeah.
At the same time, is you could say the pure devotee, when you're saying karma yoga, he's performing pure bhakti, so you wouldn't call it karma yoga as such, but when you refer to it as karma yoga, you're showing how all their activities are connected to the Lord. There's no mix, but you're just bringing out the activities that they do or how their knowledge is used in Krishna service. You know, or jnana, how they're always absorbed in Krishna. Does that make sense? So the mechanics themselves, that they're a generic item. That's why they're impersonal. That's why in the material world, everything's technically impersonal. Because it's all about the knowledge and mechanics. It only becomes personal when it's about Krishna and the living entity. Because if we're just about mechanics, mechanics are generic. That's impersonal. We may be a person, others are persons, but you're only looking at how everybody connects together in connection with the mechanics. So that's not exactly personal. You know, it's like saying, yes, these 10 people have come, you know, to take the driver's exam. They're individuals, they're persons, but they're just part of the machinery that, okay, today I got to see these 10 people. But it's just part of the knowledge and skills and mechanics of what they're doing. That's why there's no satisfaction in the world, because we're looking for all that personal stuff. And no matter how much we talk about the personal thing of being nice and this and that, but nice is also a generic thing. It's not in connection with Krishna. It's just a subtler mechanics. That we just do the gross mechanics, but without the subtle, there's some dissatisfaction. But if we add the subtle in, there'll still be dissatisfaction. You add in the knowledge and the metaphysical, there'll still be dissatisfaction. It's only when it's connected to Krishna, then it has substance, it has value. Does that make sense? So then, the rati that's there, that when it's generic in connection with Krishna, it's about Krishna the person, and one's devoted to the person. But the knowledge and the mechanics of it, you can deal with all of it. All of it will enhance. Right? Though there may be the aspect of some specific areas you prefer, but the point is it's generic. So like you said, the specific rati of the specific devotee. So that's why it's very specific. For us as Gaudiyas, we have a very specific rati, right, of Braja Krishna. And so that Braja Bhakti, that 100% surrender, Kevala Bhakti, right, the pure unalloyed devotion. So that will situate us in one particular place. But first we have to get rati, that attraction to Krishna. And then with time, that becomes very specific. You know what I'm saying? Even if there is a specific idea, you can't function on that till you get there. So before, it's a generic attraction. Does that make sense? So that's why the activities of the great sages and all that, their activity and their like that, the great sage, you know, the great sages, you know, sees the Brahmin, the elephant, the dog eater, all the same. Like that. These are all valuable for us because we haven't developed that rati. Even if we have a specific rati in mind, we still haven't developed it. You know, it's just like the kid knows they want to become, let's say, a nuclear physicist, but he's not now. He has to do his, you know, math homework. You know what I'm saying? So it's still as generic that they're going through. Does that make sense? So in that way, there's not a problem. Is that we're using our knowledge, we're using the mind, we're using all these things in Krishna's service, and that works out perfectly because it's all Krishna. But if we think it's because of my mind, because of my emotions, because of my caring, because of my knowledge, because of my renunciation, because of my following of Dharma, all these things, then no. Bhakti is independent. It has zero to do with these things. You can use them. Religion can be used for Krishna. And that's the natural medium, right? That's what we use for Krishna. But it's not that religion produces bhakti. So bhakti is independent like Krishna. Since he's independent, bhakti is independent. Right? And then all these others, religion, these are all secondary. They're all in support of. They're never independent.
Right.
Yes?
Sometimes Prabhupada gives the example of a catalyst, which fits very nicely.
A catalyst?
In a reaction, if you have a catalyst, mm-hmm. then the reaction proceeds faster.
Aha, uh-huh, yes.
If there is no catalyst, still the reaction will happen, but it might take a little more time. So yes. We have all the other things, nice, religious and everything fixed and the focus, then our rati can speed up.
Mm. Yes.
But without that also, then still if we just follow the process, still we get without.
Yes. Does that make sense? So the Vaidhi Bhakti, because we are focused on Braja Krishna, then it will get us there. Because from Vaidhi you get bhava. Right? That's the point. Vaidhi sadhana. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti will bring you to bhava. Bhava will bring you to prema. So now if that spontaneous aspect is there, one may continue quicker. You know, or if the focus on the philosophy or appreciation of the pastimes or absorption of a particular activity, a service, you know, engaging one's nature, that will just make it go quicker. But the bhakti is still independent. It's not dependent upon these things. That's why one person can, like you see, is, let's say in your own life, you do something that then you feel that you're moving forward more dynamically. Like, let's say you read more, or you do some act that you are more austere or something, right? So then, it has an effect on you. So now what's the natural thing to do? Right? Everyone. Huh? Yeah, everyone on the planet should be doing this. You know, because it worked for you, right? And so there will be individuals that it will work better for. Otherwise, it's the principle that's important, that we're putting in that greater effort, that focus, we're engaging ourselves according to our nature in Krishna's service. That's the generic. And for the specific, you know, you say get up early. You know, okay, but for one person getting up early is 7, another person is 6, another is 5, another it's, you know. Does that make sense? So the point is whatever you're getting up, can you get up earlier? You know, then you can put in that more time. But to say, no, you have to get up at exactly this time, you know, some sense. You know, I found, you know, getting up at 3:15 is just perfect, because 3:30 is that, but then this gives you that extra 15 minutes so you can peacefully chant your Gayatri and this and that, and so that's made such a difference, so it has to be 3:15. That's not important. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty that comes up, is that we'll take it that our specific impressions of the mind and intelligence is actually what's making it working. No, it's connection to Krishna. That's what makes it work. And then in the association of devotees, we become inspired. We see how to apply it in our particular life. And then it works really good. So, that okay?
Yes. I'm just thinking in the connection to Shtayan Charitamrita discussion, then if it's purely philosophical approach to Rasa Tattva, then Shanta Bhakta's position is most advantageous, because everything nourishes their rasa.
Mm-hmm.
But then we see residents of Vrindavan, specifically in Kanjigal, that they came to Kurukshetra, but they couldn't experience whatever they came for, just because one ingredient wasn't there. I mean, the place was wrong. And the place defines atmosphere and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we come from that point and we say Shantarasa Kija, you know, that's it. Because anything nourishes it. But then in conjugal,
this is going to have a real bad effect on the Gopi Baba Club. Right?
we can experiment, I guess. Come with the group and just, you know, present it.
But the point is the intensity is not as much. So the Shuddha Rati, it's pure. And it's the generic Rati, but it doesn't have the intensity. So once you move into Dasya, the intensity is greater. So that's what you're talking about, one's better than the other. Because each one has a uniqueness. So they're all the same, and that they're all absorbed in Krishna, and they're all pure. But the intensity is different. So that's what gives the greater. So then within that, then it moves up until you get to the conjugal. Then within the conjugal, then you have the swakya. Then the parakya is higher. Then within the parakya, then, you know, so one's anubhava, then the next is mahabhava. Then within that mahabhava, then up from that, then... Madhunaika. Madhuna is the general?
Mahabhava, and with Mahabhava then again stages, that Madhunaika Mahabhava is only the highest.
Yeah, but what's the one below the second level? No? So then there's the level that Radharani's group is experiencing. Then there's what Radharani's experiencing. Right? So then if one's connected, one's experiencing that. So that's then Lord Chaitanya's coming to taste that. So the intensity is greater. But it's not that, as we mentioned before, rasa being one entity. It's just different features according to the devotee, because it's unlimited like Krishna. Then they can see all other examples of rasa in the context of their particular deity. So the gopis don't have a problem in seeing Krishna in everything. But it's still Braja Krishna. And there's also, then there's going to be, there's the flavor between Vipralamba and Sambhog. Right? And so there's a difference in flavor. So the Vipralamba is there, but then they're trying, in Vipralamba you're always trying to bring it to Sambhog. And the Sambhog therefore then increases the Vipralamba. So in Shanta Ras there's no Vipralamba. Because Krishna being everything and everywhere, all pervading, they always perceive, they're never not, they're always with him. So that platform, you can say, of knowledge of Krishna, you know, that direct experience of that itself is Krishna. Right? So they don't say that you're with Krishna, with this, it's all various aspects within one thing. right? But then within, once there's possession, then you have the aspect of the separation. What we see is that it's only really a main feature in Goloka. In other places, it's not so much. But we do hear that the Lord does come and go. Yeah. Like, as they're talking about, he's in Vaikuntha, but he goes out for a pastime or stuff like that. He comes to, you know, Gajendra is calling, so then he leaves Vaikuntha, goes there. So they all have, there always is, but it won't have the intensity in Braja. So,
yeah.
So intensity is still there. Like we said, there's five stages.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Ujjvala means it's most intense. That's why it's also called Ujjvala Rasa. Yeah. Right? Because it's the brightest of all of them. You know, so within the five, then the five levels, it's then is on that top level. So,
yes.
Is that okay? No, we're not distracted now. So.
What's that?
Now we're not distracted and, you know, why am I going for this? Shanta's done.
No, because the natural thing is that the intensity will feel attraction to that if it is our nature. If
yes,
we'll
yes,
just
of course.
Drop it because it doesn't match.
Someone from Shanta Rasa, they're perfectly satisfied there. And for them, that's perfect because that's who they are. Right? So it's not a matter of, you know, this thing of being who you are. So then is it about who we are or is it about what we can experience? You know what I'm saying? I want to be who I am, but I want to experience everything which I'm not. So that's that thing of, you know, can we keep the rasa open and all, you know, like that kind of thing. Do we have options, you know, like this? So it's a matter of, since your rasa with Krishna is actually who you are, you're going to be fully satisfied. Right? You know, it's not that Lalita is thinking she would like rather be Radharani. She is Lalita. She's perfectly happy there. You know, Mother just showed us happy doing what she wants. She's not, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not that they're off doing something, you know, such, you know, in the morning, then it's cool to be Mother Jashoda because everything happens at your house, but then you should, you know, transform into a cowherd boy to go out with Krishna and all that. And then, you know, just since you're with the cowherd boys, but then there's this little taste of the gopis that they're getting when Krishna comes back. You just be a gopi for that few moments until Krishna passes. Then you go back with the cowherd boys and all that. And then you'll be back with Mother Jashoda and all that, and it's there. And then at night when they go out, then again out with the gopi. No.
But this is exactly the description of the Shanta meditation. You everywhere, but you don't have any specific attraction.
No, but yes, but for them that's there. But what we're talking about is in this idea of that changing rasas. That's the point. Is this one appreciates it all, but it doesn't have any specific attraction. While the other ones will appreciate all of them, but they have a specific attraction. So therefore, they can manifest there specifically in certain situations. Because that makes it more intense. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like if you take gunpowder and light it, there will be some kind of a foof there, right? But now if you restrict it, it becomes greater. Right? The greater the restriction, the greater the effect. So that's it. Yes.
Also, there is another point in this context that it is the prakasha forms which are not seen by the others, because the prakasha forms are the similar pastime, everything is similar, that's the reason they don't see.
Oh, okay.
But the vilasa forms, everybody can see even in other rasas. Because the vilasa forms, they don't disturb, because it's different according to the pastime, they don't disturb their particular rasa, like Krishna and Balaram. Though they are same,
yeah.
They are different.
So Krishna Balaram would be vilas.
Yeah, he is categorized in vilas. Like the, so those forms, like unlimited forms, any devotee can see. But if it is a prakasha form only, then like the gopis also don't see, while rasa dancer others.
Yeah, others does that make sense?
Yeah,
yeah. So it's that each gopi thinks they're with Krishna, they don't see the others. That's why Radharani, being in the center, she can see all of them. right? And it just adds to it. You know, it's like, you know, going to a place where everyone, like you want to go shopping. If you go to the mall and absolutely no one's there, you know, it's not as good as if so many people are there and happy and shopping. It just adds to the mood. Does that make sense? You know. But for the others, then, you know, just limited. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's also how it's seen, because it's like for Radharani, even though Vishnu's there, she still sees it's just Krishna. So he can't maintain.
Yeah.
You know.
He can't maintain because he isn't Vishnu. If it was Vishnu for real, then...
Yeah, he could. Yeah, that's also a very good point. Yeah. In other words, Krishna's taken the mood of Vishnu. Yeah, he's expanding. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, also we see in that pastime with, I think it's Bahulasva and...
Shutadev.
That Krishna's there, and then he goes in two forms with each of them. And the group that's with the king can't see him going off with the Brahmin, and the group of the Brahmin can't see him going off with the king. So that's the matter of the... That's the Prakash.
And that's the Prakash.
Yeah, so and so. So that's something new.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned Chaitanya Charitamrita. These devotees see that Prakasha means two different Krishnas, then it will make them to fall into awe and reverence.
Yeah, it will make them fall into awe and reverence, yes. And also get confused which way do you go. So
that is why when Rasa dance is happening, the demigods are seeing. Because they are in awe and reverence, they can see all Krishnas.
Okay.
They can,
yes.
By seeing this magnanimous thing, they can...
Yes, it increases the feeling of greatness. Yeah.
But they cannot see the gopis.
They can't see the gopis. They can only see Krishna. That is far out.
And doing what? Answering the question.
Just dancing.
And the goddesses, they can see.
Oh.
Goddesses can see the gopis.
Yes.
Okay, and appreciate their position. Can they see Krishna?
Yes.
They can see both. Okay, but the men only see Krishna.
It's not fair.
We want equality. Right? Yeah.
Spiritual equality.
Yeah.
There is it.
Justice. Huh?
Not just.
Yeah, it's not just. Hey, what's going on?
So it means lust is stronger than envy? Jealousy?
Well, you don't want it to be disturbed. Yeah, because if it's so great, then naturally you can't be envious.
Okay. You know, but, yeah. It's too far out?
Yeah, you just want to avoid the lust. Mm. Because they're the most beautiful. Why are people in the heavenly planets?
Enjoy.
To enjoy, right? And so then you're going to see is that that enjoying of the feminine nature is very much a part of the heavenly experience, right? Means if you're just into celibacy, then you go beyond the heavenly planets, then you go to like Tapaloka, right? But if there's that still that sense of enjoyment, then that'll place you at the heavenly planets. So if there's enjoyment, then the gopis are going to be the most beautiful girls in the cosmos. Right? It means within the creation, they're the most beautiful. But they're even beyond beauty in Vaikuntha or Dwarka. So it's going to be beyond whatever is there. Right? So then the wives of the demigods, then they're going to appreciate that beauty of the girls, that they're more, and therefore their piety and their greatness and all that, and they'll aspire for that. Therefore the deva... They call it? Yeah, there's a name for the Deva something. Means the group that were demigoddesses before. They come as gopis. Does that make sense? So they'll want to come in that place. Like, you know, because you have those who come in individuals and those who come in groups. So then the demigoddesses, they'll be one group like that. You know, sages at Naimisharanya. Dandakaranya. Mm-hmm. They're another group like that. Then there's groups. Yeah? So they'll appreciate and like that. Well, you don't know if the men won't get distracted. So. Yeah. first, you know.
Maharaj, is this why we say that we are interested only in this Krishna that Prabhupada can
see?
Not,
yeah, it means other aspects, means it's not that we don't have see the other forms, the vilas forms, you know, or the incarnations and all these. We just are not, we just don't see them in a context other than what Prabhupada's given us. Because the whole point is the founder Acharya, he sets that proper makes the mood that's given by the other Acharyas accessible. So he actually reveals the full vision. Otherwise you can get so many different groups and everything like that, that it can accommodate. You know, just like those from groups before us, they have difficulty accommodating us. We don't have a problem accommodating them. Because when we're following the founder Acharya, everything becomes accommodated. But these others, they have problem accommodating us because they're just seeing in one particular aspect. You know. Means if they go back to Godhead, and that's fine. You know. At the same time is how it's all held together is what the founder Acharya is going to do. Yeah. So that's why we want to be very careful to be there. There's all these other places you can be. The spiritual world is unlimited. You know? It means, when it says, it struck me because I was thinking about this thing of what it says that the universe is coming out of the pores of Mahavishnu is like dust going through a screen. Right? Now we're used to screens, meaning these little ones for keeping out mosquitoes. Right? But your typical screen in India is jolly work. You know, have you seen Hawa Mahal?
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be that, but smaller. Those are fine, because it's carved. This is cast, so it's bigger. They'll be, you know, like half that size or something. But still, no?
Still, mosquitoes will come.
No, we're not talking about mosquitoes.
Oh,
I'm saying we're seeing in context the mosquitoes, so we think a screen there. So the dust is, you know, yeah, dust is small, it'll pass through the screen. But if you have the screen meaning jolly, right, because the point is screen means it screens from something. We're worried about mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. But general things, it screens from outside. You can see out, but they can't really see in, because as soon as there's something in front, the eye hits that. Right? You can look and see through it, but you have to make that extra effort. But you just look out directly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So the point is this being a screen, how much dust can go through a screen like this? Through jolly?
A lot.
Unlimited, through one. So that means one pore of Mahavishnu itself, unlimited universes are coming out. So that makes the universes really, really, really small. Right? And that's unlimitedly small within one quarter. Then within three quarters, 51% of that is Goloka. So if you're worshiping Krishna, there's plenty of space, plenty of opportunity. Right? You know, so that's why we want to be very specific, because as we see, it's the mood that makes the difference. The queens, you know, as an example given here, the queens are all there. They're all in a conjugal swakya relationship with Krishna. But each queen, her mood is different. Otherwise, why have 16,108? They're all going to be exactly the same. What's the point? Right? So they're all different. And so that you can say is, that's what's prominent. Right, you could have unlimitedly more, but these you could say is this would be, you know, cover all the main categories. Does that make sense? And then within each of that, then they have all their assistants and everything that are following in that particular mood. So if you want to be in a specific place, then it has to have that specificness. Otherwise, it's a generic thing. The cows can hang out with any of Krishna and any of the gopis. You know what I'm saying?
Somewhere else, then if the desire for liberation becomes very prominent, then you will not end up with Prabhupada.
No, you end up somewhere else, or even if you do, it may just take a little longer. But, you know, remember one devotee saying, he was always saying, Narayan, Narayan, like this, and I was saying, aren't you worried about Krishna? He says, and his point was, I don't care as long as I get out of the material world, you know? So yeah, you'll end up in Vaikuntha. If it's that generic, you'll go to Vaikuntha. It's out of the material world. You're liberated. That's the whole point. You know? So that's why it's more about the attraction to Krishna than the non-attraction of the material world. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say, for example, the husband's not attracted to any other girl. So that's a good thing. But he's not specifically over the moon about who he's married to either. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is you want to make it that because of being attracted to his wife, he's not attracted to anyone else. But if it's just he's not attracted to anyone else, so that's good. He's a solid personality. He's dependable. He's, you know, consistent. But, you know, what about the rasa aspect? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point in bhakti. It's about that attraction to Krishna, not just giving up the material world. You give up the material, that's good, that's pious, that's nice. But the point is, piety is supposed to be used in Krishna's service, otherwise it's a waste.
That's why the other sampradayas, some of them are really shocked when they hear the Arachari saying that the desire for mukti, for liberation, is like a witch. So even the Vaishnavas, they are...
Yeah, it's just like, why wouldn't you want to get out of here? It's like, because the point is if with Krishna, the point is when you have that absorption in Krishna, it doesn't matter where you are. All Vaishnavas will say if they're absorbed in the Lord, but then they're taking that aspect, but this getting out of the material world is the good part about it. Even if they're here, the consciousness is out. But there is that they're tasting the deity that they're with. So there, that you're with God and everything like that. Then, yeah, it matches with God and liberation can go together quite well. You know, knowledge, renunciation, all the religious things and God go together very well. They're a nice, nice, pleasant balance. But when you have Krishna, then it has to be more towards the person. Bhagavan takes the prominence. And so then Braj is the most prominent of that. And then within Braj, then the gopis, within that, then Radharani. So then that's the fullness of it. So it's just a matter of being aware of what we're being offered. That's why I said it's never been offered before. So this is what's unique, what's special. You know, 999 times in the day of Brahma, doors to Vaikuntha are open. But it's only once in a day of Brahma that Braj is open. Yeah.
But get with the program.
Hmm? Get with the program. it's a unique thing because we're taking on some things on secondary things, knowledge, detachment, this, that. You know, oh, they have so much knowledge, and they study the knowledge. You know, it's like it's not that this knowledge is not here. It's just we don't necessarily study it. You know, so if they put a value in studying and scholarship, therefore they'll know it. They'll think, oh, they know so much more knowledge, they're more advanced. But it's not that. It's a mood. Even you have all that knowledge, it's going to a specific place. You know? Like that. And even those who are fixed there, they can appreciate where we're going. It means I've met some Sri Vaishnava, the big scholars and very well respected. You know, this would have been back in the 80s, you know, so they may not be around anymore. So they could see the position of our society and how much it's even a greater, you could say, movement than what Ramanuja or others have established. And they see that the perfection of, you know, even what they're doing will be found within what we're doing. But it doesn't mean that changes their position. They're not satisfied where they are. It just means, just like we saw in Vaikuntha, you have those who can only appreciate what they're doing. Then those who can appreciate, you know, others. You know, accommodate others. And then there's those who can appreciate. Yeah, like that. So it's just like Narad Muni, he can appreciate all the different realms. Then you follow some of the more senior Vaikunthavasis, they could appreciate he has a different expression, but because it's going to disturb the minds of everybody else, and, you know, be a little, you know, in the public scene, don't get into that. And then there's those that just know, this is the way you worship Vishnu, and that's it. And they're all three correct. It's just that one's more accommodating than the others. So you'll find that there are those who can accommodate, but it's not like Murari Gupta. He can appreciate about the Radha and Krishna, but he's a Ramachandra man.
And Mahaprabhu is pleased.
Yeah, and he's pleased because he's fixed. He's like this. So, you know, it's not a market that, well, you know, check him out. Do I want to check this one out? Well, I don't know. Let's say it's like that. What's the return policy on this, you know, cowherd boy rasa? How many days? You know, only what? You know, he says, you know, even Amazon gives 10 days.
Sometimes 14.
Sometimes 14. Yeah. Manu gives 10. So that point of a return policy, that's actually Vedic. It's an eternal principle. 10 days.
Ours is a special festival offer like that in Kali Yuga, very special. Only once in like, Day of Brahma we get this access to Vraj Krishna. Like,
yes.
Our sampradaya is just like that.
Yes.
Just trying to appreciate that.
Yes. Yes. Because Lord Chaitanya comes, he establishes this. Yes.
One gentleman from Calcutta yesterday asked, what is the difference between what you are doing and others are also worshipping Krishna? So what is the answer for people from outside?
It's just a particular flavor. Means you have worship of Krishna, but there's the intensity of that surrender. You know, whether it's with the concept of liberation without. How much is it's about 100% about Krishna, that'll be Braj. And that, you know, it's about yourself, liberation, you know, your self-position and the Lord, but it's all transcendental, that'll be Vaikuntha. And depending upon whether there's more sweetness or less, that'll place you where you are in Vaikuntha.
I don't think he would understand that. Just
but you can say it. No longer.
Yes,
Yeah, it's just the art of conversation. So while you say these things, you nod your head, they'll nod their head.
Okay.
You know, like that. Yeah.
The difficulty seems to be that we preach in movements, so we preach to everybody.
Yes.
And, you know, so many people join.
Right.
And Srila Prabhupada, he actually mentions in commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita that some come for bhakti, some come for mukti, some come for position, some come for money, you know, so many things.
Yes.
And then they join the movement, and
yes,
then they're confused.
But that's why it's the movement. You understand? There's the movement, then within that there's the society, within that there's the institutions.
So what would be the difference?
Well, the movement is there, they come for bhakti, mukti, siddhi, kama, you know, all these things. That's all right. They come too. But if they remain in that position, then they'll continue next life. So they'll get closer and closer each time. But if you take it up and what you're specifically into, means you appreciate what Lord Chaitanya is giving, then means in this lifetime you can go back to Godhead. You know, and then enter into that kind of position. Does that make sense? It's just a matter of desire. Someone can come from any position, but it doesn't mean, just like the example of Dhruva Maharaj, right? He approached the Lord just for a kingdom. He wanted a kingdom bigger than his father's, and that was the universe. So it had to be bigger than that. No, it's actually grandfather. You know, Brahma, it's the whole universe. He wants bigger than that, right? He's a 5-year-old, right? You know, but he got bigger than that, you know. But the point was is that it's not about it, but once he saw the Lord, he wasn't interested anymore. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so that's the whole point, is that having come in contact with the movement, in contact with the pure devotees, then one may give these things up. Right? It doesn't mean that even having given it up, if it is the conditioned nature, that one doesn't engage it. But one's not acting in that way. You know, it's like Yudhishthira Maharaj is engaging his position as a Kshatriya, but it's not at all about power and all that. The Pandavas are quite happy out in the forest. As a lifestyle, they prefer living in the forest than in the city, because they grew up in the forest, right? With the sages and all that. That's their preference. But as far as expressing their Kshatriya nature and benefiting the people, that will happen better when they're in the city. Right? So then they can control, and Duryodhana isn't the ideal person because he won't make anybody Krishna conscious. He'll manage nicely, but no one will become God conscious. They'll just become more and more materialistic. So that's a problem because that's not what it's for. Does that make sense? So someone might come, let's say in this case, because of they see, you know, that there's an organization, the structure, they're like, they want to get involved, they want to do something, they want power, they want position. That's fine because they're doing things for Krishna. But as they become purified, then it will be that now they're just engaged in their conditioning, which happens to be manager in Krishna's service, and they're engaged in pure devotion. But if not, as we see is that one class, Bhavananda Prabhu gave, he was talking about the big devotee. Mm-hmm. He says that, and so if you're the big devotee, then, you know, and these things, that's what's important, and not Krishna, then you can go on being the big devotee. So next life, you'll continue being the big devotee. Everyone else will go back to Godhead, and you'll be sitting here being the big devotee. You're like Vritrasura. He went back to Godhead. Indra stayed here to be the big manager. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's just a matter of how much you take advantage, because bhakti can be accomplished in a moment. Literally. That's why we have the example of Katvanga, we have the gopis, we have the wives of the yogic Brahmins, of those who just in a moment surrendered. It can be done that quickly. We're the ones that tend to, you know, extend it. Does that make sense? You know, so if we're in that leisurely mood, just like, let's say, as an example, husband and wife, they'll spend, you know, that really focused quality time where they interact and all that. Let's just say, for example, in a day, there might be, let's say, 20 minutes, half an hour of this. Okay? Now, if you only have, let's say, 3 hours after work before you go to bed, that half hour will be found. But now, let's say it's Sunday and you have 24 hours, still will only be that half hour. Because, oh, that's later, oh, this and that, because there's assault, you understand? It's not that it will increase. So it's just a matter of that, it doesn't have to. When we see that there's other things than that, and we can, you know, facilities and the enjoyment, we tend to, you know, put it off. But we can just focus on it and just be absorbed in that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is just a matter of how do we apply it? So, being absorbed in Krishna completely, we can do that at any moment. It's not dependent upon time, place, and circumstance. And so, it's up to us. That's why it says it takes many lifetimes. So, how many lifetimes it's taken of, you know, being involved with devotional service and the Jnata Sukriti, that we've now come to Krishna consciousness, you know, or we're now practicing now. We don't know. You know, does that make sense? But the whole the point is that what are we going to do with it now? So the Bhagavatam says you can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. So it means you can focus and do it. It's not that it's something that can't be done, but it's just a matter of whether we do it. So yes, all these different people will come for that, for all these different things. But having the association with pure devotees, that's why you see, is that's always mentioned, that's the most key element. Then that's what moves us forward. Seeing their example, you know, so that association and all that, that's what moves us forward. In some instance. And so that's then what we're trying to do. Does that make sense? So everybody who's part of the mission now could go back to Godhead this lifetime. Whether they do, it's another thing. So as you see those who take advantage of the mission and take up seriously the association of devotees. And that you'll call your society. Right? And that can be within or without the institution. Right? The community is outside the institution. Does that make sense? It's part of the means the whole thing. But there's the legal entity of ISKCON. You know, it's like the temple authorities, temple devotees, that you can legally say there's a binding there. You know, it's just like some guy, you know, goes through a red light and he happens to be of some kind of, you know, if you ask him, what is he? What denomination? He'll say, oh, I'm Christian. He doesn't really necessarily practice much and this and that. He has some sentiment and all that. Like that. Can you now go down to the church and now say that, you know, you got to pay this fine? No. But if one of their priests goes through the line, or one of their people that works in their institution, that you can say they have to pay. That's the difference between the society and the mission. I mean, and the institution. Does that make sense? It's just where the legal element is there. Does that make sense? But the mission is even, I mean, the movement's even bigger. Anybody who kind of, like, has some appreciation of the activities of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada's books, his instructions, Prabhupada. You know, there's people, like to say, sometimes like parents of devotees. They appreciate, but they don't necessarily practice with that. So they're part of, you could say, the movement. Like that. But they're not taking it so seriously. So you wouldn't say they're part of the society. So all these things can and go, and the mission is about making pure devotees. So all of these all match together very, very well. Does that make sense? It's not a problem. But still, one should know the positions. Right? 'Cause if you don't understand the mission, you don't understand the other three. It's just a matter of how committed one is to the mission. Right? Does that make sense? So if someone very committed, that's a strong member of the society. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is it good?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura ki.